It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. We'll do it because you're demanding it.
Number five.
Just months before a second deadly crash of a Boeing 737 MAX airplane, American Airlines pilots angrily confronted a Boeing official about the anti-stall system that appears to be at the heart of this problem. This was in November, weeks after the Lion Air crash, 4 months before the Ethiopian Air disaster.
We flat out deserve to know what is on our airplanes.
I don't disagree.
We're the last line of defense to be in that smoking hole, and we need the knowledge.
I don't know that understand this system would have changed the outcome of this. You know, a million miles are going to maybe fly this airplane, and maybe one's going to see this ever. So we try not to overload the crews with information that's unnecessary so they actually know the information that we believe is important.
We want to make sure we're fixing the right things.
Yeah, I get that.
That's an important thing. We'll make sure we're fixing the right things. We don't want to rush and do a crappy job fixing the right things. But we also don't want to fix the wrong things.
Man. It's not looking good for Boeing.
No, it
As
is not.
As each little piece comes out.
No. And if, I mean, obviously the pilots were aware of this. And they were reaching out, and it's interesting that this came out, and they were saying, hey, what are we going to do about this? Because there is a problem here.
Yeah.
All right.
Not good.
Checking in at
number four.
Senator Bob Menendez tore into a State Department official during a hearing today after the department official brushed off a question about a nuclear arms treaty. Andrea Thompson's her name. She's the undersecretary for the State Department during a State Foreign Relations Committee hearing about the new START treaty, and, well, it didn't go well.
Let me ask you, if New START expires, could Russia target the United States with hundreds or perhaps even thousands of additional nuclear warheads?
That's a good question for Russia, Senator.
No, it's a good question for you. You know, I disdain that the State Department has when they come here. I don't appreciate it. I'm asking for legitimate questions with answers so that I can make policy decisions. I'm not asking Russia about our national defense. I'm asking you.
Yes, Senator, as our staff was up here.
Is it possible that, in fact, if there is no new START, that, in fact, Russia could aim hundreds or thousands of new weapons? Is that possible?
That's a hypothetical, Senator, and I'm not going to answer that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that.
See, yeah, it's a hypothetical, but I think it's an easily
answerable
question. Yeah. All right. And there's more.
That's a hypothetical. That's not a fair question.
It's not a hypothetical. It's what would happen if we cannot verify what they're doing. If Russia expanded its strategic nuclear forces in a post-New START environment, what would be the implications for U.S. nuclear strategy and force posture?
Again, Senator, if we're looking to the future here, it depends where the security situation is in the world, what our partners and allies are doing, what our R&D efforts through the Department of Defense are doing. That's all being taken into consideration now as we look through next steps.
Wow.
What is happening?
I don't know. Those seem like questions that we should hear the answers to, and they don't seem outrageous to ask them.
And, you know, we've torn up our politics so much in this country. I mean, you know, Bob Menendez, there are a lot of people who are going to be saying, well, Bob Menendez, right, wasn't that the guy that was on trial and
right,
all this?
Barely escaped the corruption charges.
Right. So take that out of it for a second. Those are legitimate questions to be asking, and an illegitimate attempt not to answer them by the State Department. Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
I don't know what to happen. All I know is a med got arrested for, got questioned for telling a joke. Oh, man. That's coming up. Don't worry about it. There's more of that coming up. All right, let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
President Trump takes a direct shot at Chicago prosecutors today over immigration.
All right. Top 5 of 5 continues. We've worked our way to
number 3.
One episode left of Game of Thrones. Fans are making their final predictions on who lives, who dies, who sits on the Iron Throne. We already know the answer to this.
What do you mean you already know? How do you know?
Harry Potter spoke out on this. Daniel Radcliffe.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
He should know.
Yes. He's nuts about it. You can imagine he'd be nuts. The guy like that, totally nuts about this show.
Totally.
He's got his thoughts.
He's lived it.
You know what? I watched my first ever episode the other night with no context at all. I was just like, fine. Because I'm going to have to, all of my friends are having this, like, viewing party for the last one. So I'm like, okay, I'll dive in on the penultimate episode and see if I can work it out. It was the most recent episode.
So what have you got from that?
I mean, I was very confused and needed a lot of explaining, mainly of the relationships and, like, who people were to other people. But, you know, I enjoyed it. I'm just really annoying when I watch it because, like, I don't really know the show, but I know a bunch.
You're not helping.
That work on the show, so I'm just sitting there going, like, I know that guy.
You're not helping.
That guy who's on fire now, and I know him. Yeah, so I'm a very annoying person to watch it with.
All right.
Disappointing.
Harry Potter
should know it.
Ooh, that makes me sad as a big Harry Potter nerd as well.
Right, he's missed out.
That's a total shock.
He's got
right
a lot
there.
Going on, I guess.
Yeah. I got it figured out.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? What's your?
I'll give you my prediction on Friday.
Okay.
I know it, though.
What do you mean you know it?
It's already done.
I just know it.
I can just tell. You watch enough television in your life, and you just know where this is going.
Ro, I think your last three predictions were wrong.
Don't worry about it.
However, this one
will be right.
I like how you're looking at IMDb and to see whether contracts might allow in terms of how much time, screen time they've had to try to see.
I don't know why people are doing that. I would not want to know as much as possible.
I just have a sneaking suspicion.
Oh. Well, the last episode, they say, was predicted by The Simpsons, which had, as everything is, including
what?
Disney buying Fox, they had an episode where The Simpsons became the Surfsons, and they had a dragon, and they flew over a village and annihilated everybody.
Spoiler alert.
As last week.
I haven't seen that one, Anna.
You got to catch up. Come on.
Checking in at
number 2.
Stephen A., not taking last night's NBA draft well. No. He's upset about the Knicks. And because he really wanted Zion Williamson in New York.
Yeah.
Now they're saying that Zion Williamson wanted Zion Williamson in New York.
Hmm.
Possibly true.
Cut the damn music, please. Cut it off. I'm ticked off. I don't know about the rest of yous, but if you are a Knicks fan, this is the equivalent of being kidnapped. Stored in a basement, being tortured, and then they let you out when you're of no use to anybody.
Oh, boy.
Not biased at all.
He's not taking it.
He's the greatest.
I just can't make this up. I'm telling you right now, I got an attitude with everybody. If you are not a Knicks fan, you make me sick. I mean, damn it. It never, ever, ever goes our way.
Oh, my God.
Imagine if you're a Bulls fan. Is it that much worse for the Knicks?
Yeah, because the Knicks didn't win those championships back in the 90s.
Oh, they
That's
don't have
why.
That to look back
yeah.
at.
Smith again, no. Smith again. 1993. Sorry.
Carm, as long as I've known him, has always loved Stephen A., and we've always had this difference because I'm not a fan. He's just, he's like a heart attack in a person.
He's always shouting.
We always wondered what it would sound like if Stephen A. had to go through the drive-thru at McDonald's on the way in.
I need a double quarter pounder cheese, small fries, not big fries, double quarter pounder cheese, small fries, large Diet Coke. I said Diet Coke. Yes, curly fries.
Don't disappoint that customer. Yeah. Gee, that's where he starts at level 10.
Yeah. Yeah. I did a pilot with him once.
I know you said that. And he wasn't a shouter then, though, was he? Because he wasn't always a shouter.
Yeah,
Remind me.
Let's just say that the chemistry didn't quite work. It wasn't exactly the same.
You were both shouting then?
No. I was...
Was one shouting and one not?
Actually, they were both waiting for the other one to go, I think.
Huh.
It was sort of, and then the producers were trying to amp us into something. And then I was like, I'm going to let him go. And he was like, I'm going to let him go. It didn't work out. Oh, man. All right. And then we'll get to the number one on the other side, because this is a very great story. And we had Ahmed Ahmed on, the comic that this happened to in Florida. He was in Naples, Florida, a couple nights ago doing a stand-up comedy. And he made a joke, and the and a guy called 911 because he's from the Middle East. So we'll get to all that. So we're going to finish the top five on the other side.
Okay,
I hope that's fair for everybody. Right now, let us just remind you that Kim Gordon's news is in two. All right. Now, we saved the number one on the top five, five to play back here.
Yeah.
Because it involves, well, something that I don't fully understand.
And a friend of the show.
Yep. Ahmed Ahmed is a comedian. He is a film producer, television, on one of those comedy shows for, he's also been he's often in Vince Vaughn movies.
Mm-hmm.
Many times just holding a clipboard at the door of a nightclub, but still he's in the movies. And he, so he is appearing down in, he's from Egypt. Mm-hmm. I think he was born in Egypt. His family moved here when he was very little. He was raised in the United States, raised in Southern California. And, you know, as American as one could possibly imagine.
Right.
Right.
But part of his stand-up bit is talking about Middle Easterners and the whole misperception that they're all terrorists and things like that.
Well, and first generation folks, right?
Sure.
I mean, which is what comedy, whether it was Jewish comedy, Italian comedy, yeah. There wasn't a lot of French comedy back in the early part of the 20th century, but primarily Jewish and Italian.
Yeah, sure.
Irish comics as well, talking about, you know, the first generation experience,
mm-hmm.
right? Especially, well, especially the Italians and the Jews, because their families didn't necessarily speak the language when they got here.
Right.
The Irish kind of did, but in a very different way. So it's a tradition in America. It's part of who we are. It's part of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So I should do this just to make it official that this is
number one.
I know, because I'm going to get fined by the Top 5-5 committee if I don't do this properly. So, Ahmed is playing down in Naples, Florida a couple nights ago. And he gets on stage and he starts his routine. And as he told us, he makes a joke about how many Middle Easterners are there in the room.
Ask people to raise their hands.
Yes, and they raise their hands. And then he goes, well, it only takes one. And then everybody sort of nervously laughs, and he says to be the comedian on stage, to tell jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And then then everybody kind of relaxes. They goes, lock all the doors. It's like he's been doing it for 20 years.
Right. Generally, it elicits laughter.
Right.
He told us, and people find it pretty funny.
That's what he thought, until yesterday police arrived at the comedy club to question him about the show. Because of a 911 call that was lodged by this man.
Collier County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Cormier, this line is recorded. How may I help you?
Hi, I don't know if I have the right department, but last evening I went to a comedy show. And the comedy show is happening again tonight at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
There was a comedian, his name is Ahmed Ahmed, and he's Middle Eastern.
Uh-huh. Okay, pause this. His name's Ahmed Ahmed.
It is confusing. Now, what is really funny is there's an Ahmed Ahmed on the international Interpol terrorist list.
Oh, that's unfortunate. So he probably gets pulled over at the airport
all the time.
Oh, poor guy.
All the time. I said, change your name to Andy Andy. I think that's another way to do it.
Still doesn't matter, I don't think.
Yeah.
Mm. It tracks you.
And the first thing he said when he got out on the stage was, okay, how many Middle Eastern people do we have here? And a whole bunch of people raised their hand.
Uh-huh.
I guess they went to see him because he was Middle Eastern.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you hear the name Ahmed Ahmed.
Right.
I guess so. And there weren't a lot of people there, I guess, because of the name.
Uh-huh.
I went because I got free tickets.
Okay.
I like how he says his name like it's coat. Ahmed Ahmed. You know what I'm talking about? One of those people.
Yes. But there weren't a lot of people there because there was that. So he takes a little shot at him ad there. But what I really kind of like about this is this is like a 911 call with my mother is what it's like. He's telling a lot of extraneous information. There's a lot of stuff we don't necessarily need to know. And she's just going along. And thank God in Southwest Florida, there isn't that much going on that this operator can take some time. She could take some time with him.
She's very patient.
As the people raised their names, they said, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Iraq. I'm from Iran. I'm from Pakistan. I'm from here. I'm from there. He said, that's great. He said, we could organize our own little terrorist organization.
Wow.
And I don't think that was right.
Right.
I mean, it really bothered me.
Yeah, I understand that in this environment.
That's not what he said.
It is not.
He never used the word terrorist organization in that context at that moment. He says he recorded that. We just talked to him a few minutes ago, about an hour ago, and he recorded that show, and he's got to prove he played it for the police and everything, and that's not what he said. But you know, the guy's calling the next day, so he's like sort of recreating it in his own
way. How was he, quote, in fear of his life, which is what the officer said when they arrived, if he didn't call until the next day?
That's one of the reasons Ahmed is on a flight back to Kuala Lumpur right now.
And I yell that, yeah, and the paddy wagon's going to be outside to get all of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Is that something that should not be said?
I don't know. I'm not a certified deputy, so I don't know the law on it. But I can send a deputy out there if you'd like. And maybe they can talk with them and see, you know, what that was about.
That's a stand-up comic. That did not seem satisfactory to him. Like,
that's not going to be enough.
Yeah.
No, I got to send. He's going to send his militia out.
Right. Where's the where's Homeland Security on this? I need to call the White House. This guy could end up with the Kennedy Center honors before it's all said and done for best 911 call. The president might have him over to the White House to congratulate him.
I think they should background check that guy.
Nice job calling 911 and calling out that Egyptian.
There's another show at 7 o'clock. I don't know if he's going to say it again.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, there's a total of five shows. No, five shows. Two on Friday, two on Saturday. Yeah, five shows. So, I don't know if he's going to say it again, but I just thought it was terrible. My wife and I looked at each other, and we felt very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I understand that.
So the police arrive on the Mother's Day show before the 7 p.m. appearance. Poor Ahmed is backstage like, what is going on?
Oh, all right, hold on.
Ridiculous.
Like I said, I could send somebody out there tonight and have them see what's going on.
Okay. Maybe listen in and see if you said something like that.
Yeah, would you like anyone to contact you with the outcome or anything?
Well, I wouldn't want my name used.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I wouldn't want my name told to the comedy club at all, because okay. I go there all the time.
Even though I won tickets.
What is going on?
Goes there all the time. So, there's a lot of comedians that make rape jokes. You think he called the police on those?
Right.
Probably not.
Because he felt uncomfortable?
Oh, wait, there's more.
They start at 7, and he comes on a little later, because they have two other comedians.
Okay, I'll let them know.
Debating on whether I should call or not.
Yeah, I understand. Well, it's bothering you, you know. Yeah. It's better to check it out.
There are about 25, Muslims there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
So.
All right. Well, we'll have them check it out, okay?
All right.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
So what? There were 25,
Muslims there.
Muslims.
I think this guy should be on Tucker Carlson. If he's not already tonight, he should be on.
That they didn't follow up swiftly enough or thoroughly enough.
Now, if you're the Collier County Sheriff's Office, do you send the SWAT team maybe to surround the place?
I also picture this guy hiding in bushes outside the comedy club.
Totally.
Like just his eyes peering out, watching to see.
Seems a little creepy.
See what happens.
Well, how about the idea that, all right, now there's two that are going to get up there before. Those are the good ones. Those are fine. Why couldn't this happen to Dane Cook? That's my question. Why does it have to happen to my friend Ahmed?
Poor Ahmed. And he's like trying to, you know, say, hey, you know, I didn't mean to offend anybody. I'm like hanging out. I was shaking hands with everyone. Most terrorists don't do that. They don't do like a meet and greet before the event.
Here's what Ahmed told us about an hour ago.
So it was a kind of weird time for me, like, you know, where I'm at in my career, where I'm living, the age that I'm at. You know, you can't really buy this kind of publicity. And so I say this to the guy that made the 911 call. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Whoever you are out there. This is thousands of dollars of publicity. Oh.
Probably true.
Yeah.
More.
Yes. This is really.
And everybody's okay.
Yes. Everybody's fine. Nobody got hurt.
He said the police were even sort of like, you know, I'm sorry, we got to kind of do this, right? You know, like, this is a little embarrassing.
Yep. Now, son, what we need to do here is figure out now real close. You an Arab.
Arab, is that what you said?
What part of Arab are you from?
It's hard to figure out the worst part about that, but the fact that he won't put his name on it. Dude, why don't you just stand for something? You want to stand for something, buddy? Let's hear it. Let's get that name.
Because he has his own issues and record, would be my guess.
Well, he knew he was wrong. A moron.
Well, he was calling to... He wasn't sure if it was... He wasn't sure if the right department was to call 911. This is why God invented 311, but that's a separate issue.
They don't have it everywhere. That's the problem.
He hasn't memorized that one yet.
I just imagine on his way to the comedy show, he was listening to this.
Because we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly. And it's going to be hell. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining.
Love me some Toby Keith.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. I don't know. I was just a little nervous, so I decided to call the police.
Well, you know, there were 25 of them. Them. Those people.
Of the Muslims. 25 Muslims in a room. Wow. Wow. All right. Now I understand.
Got to report that.
Yeah, it's a national security issue. I understand.
What is happening?
Oh, my God. Well, I don't know what is happening. I don't. You know, that's a very good question. I don't know. I wake up every morning, and this is a crazy thing for a guy whose whole life is about knowing what's happening in the news. I'm afraid to turn on the television.
Or check your phone.
I know.
For the next alert.
I mean, honest to God, I mean, the last couple of weeks, I'm like, I get up in the morning, and I'm like, I don't even want to know. I don't even want, and you know, you look at like the push notifications, uh-huh. And you're like, he did what? They did what? What? The state of what? Just did what? And I'm like, okay. And I put my phone down, and I literally put the sheets back over my head. Unlike this guy who put sheets over his head for a different reason, and I'm like, I can't get out of bed. What am I going to go do?
Are you proud of me?
Yeah, exactly the point. All right, well, that officially closes up the top five at five.
The top five at five.